Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Chauncey Show, where we're always right. We're never left. We put God first and politics second. Good evening, everyone. We have an exciting show lined up for you today. We have a gentleman who is the current president of the Center for American Defense Studies. It is apropos that based on what's going on today, we're going to be talking about the current military state of the United States. And we're going to be talking about Afghanistan. Let me give you a little background about my guest speaker, who's going to be on the show. He is a dynamic strategic thinker, dual with 30 years of national security, military, intelligence, diplomatic, private sector, journalism, and media experience. Paul's a former officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. Paul served in artillery airborne special operations units worldwide. He also served at various U.S. embassies overseas as a naval attaché with the Defense Intelligence Agencies. He is also a security advisor, defense contractor for private companies and government agencies. Paul's has degrees from Georgetown, London, and Cambridge University. His national security motto is America First, but not alone. Let me welcome to the show my friend Paul Crespo. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on to the show today, Paul.
Hey, Chauncey, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
I know that there's a lot going on, and I know you have a very busy schedule. So let's just jump right into it. I know that you've been working hard trying to protect and help as many people as you can in Afghanistan. Let's just jump right in. You know, give us an assessment on what's going on and where we are, if there's any hope, you know, that we can see in the future what's going on.
It is devastating, brutal, horrible, disastrous, cataclysmic. I can't use big enough words to describe the fiasco and the disaster that this president has created. And, you know, had it been Trump who executed this, which, you know, he was on track to do, I would be saying the same thing about him. Sorry. Because pulling out of Afghanistan, especially the way this president has done, is an absolute disaster and a disgrace. It's a disgrace to America. It's a disgrace to all the men and women who fought there, served there, and helped those Afghans try to create a better country for themselves and a safer place for us as well. And it's just, I mean, I'm shocked because I've spent the last 4 days, 5 days now, 24/7 practically trying to save, first of all, Americans who are still left behind and green card holders and people like that, but just as many or more Afghans who served faithfully backing the United States, believing in the United States, side by side with us, trying to create a better country for themselves with our help, and that we simply just abandoned overnight. And they are now have targets on their backs and on their heads. The Taliban is searching door to door for these people. They're going to be executed, hung from light posts, beheaded, you name it, it's happening. And Biden is doing absolutely nothing. And not only is he doing absolutely nothing, he's keeping people like me and our group and our different organizations who are working tirelessly as private citizens and as civilian volunteers to operate one of the largest airlifts in recent history, trying to get people out of Afghanistan to any safe country, not necessarily the United States. We're going to take them to third. We have airplanes backed up. We have all the aircraft. We have everything. We have been vetting these people day in and day out. So I'm one of the guys that vets them, and I was a DIA. I know what I'm doing. I don't let anybody go through our system if they don't prove their passport, identification, documentation, letters, things to document exactly what they did with the United States, how they supported us, if they were translators, interpreters, if they were high-level government, or if they were, you know, special forces, or their family is targeted. So we do all this, and we check and double check, and then we filter them, and then we try to get them to the airport. And you know what's happening at the airport? We don't have a problem with planes. We don't have a problem with pilots. We have a problem with American Marines, my fellow Marines, being ordered to stop anyone who's not American from coming into the gate. And this is Afghan airport, which it's not even our airport. It's the Afghans airport. And we're not letting the Afghans that fought with us and supported us go through the gates after they've been vetted by us to get on a plane that's sitting there waiting for them to get them out of the damn country. Excuse my French. But this is just, I am beyond, furious at what is happening. These are people that we've already documented and vetted and manifested onto our planes. We can't even get them through the gate at the airport because our soldiers and our Marines have been ordered not to allow them through the gate. It's beyond criminal. It's beyond criminal.
Biden should definitely be impeached for this action. You know, it's sad as I'm listening to you talk about what's going on the ground. I remember I saw a news report yesterday, the other day, that the Taliban is going around taking Afghan Americans and American citizens' passports, and they're taking their driver's license or any type of identification from them, which it's just what's going on is beyond my comprehension.
Well, not only that, but Biden allowed them to take over the American embassy while it still had stuff there. I mean, it was like literally handing over the keys to the kingdom. They got through on our computers, and they got documentation, IDs, or, you know, lists of names. So they know who to track, where to get them, how to track them down, and they're just hunting them down. I put a video on American Defense News in one of my last articles where there's a video from one of our people who's been trying to get to the airport to safety, and he or she is videotaping the Taliban with American-made M16s, which Biden handed over to them, searching. They don't carry Russian AKs anymore. Now they're all armed with American M16s, and they're going through the street door by door trying to track down people that they know worked or supported the United States.
This is sad. Yeah, it's definitely a criminal act that has been done by
the
Biden
blood,
administration.
This blood is absolutely on Biden's head and his hands. I mean, because this is – and now it's like, oh, well, we have to get out by the 31st. Since when does the world's greatest superpower have to do anything? You know, we get out whenever we need to get out and whenever we want to get out. And a bunch of people with flip-flops don't tell us what to do. But Biden is allowing these savage medieval jihadists to dictate American policy. They're saying we're not going to accept anything beyond the 31st of August deadline. It's like, who in the heck are you to tell the United States? Well, apparently to Biden, they get to decide. Because they're saying that they won't allow a 31st deadline extension. And Biden's like, oh, okay. Whatever you say, because, you know, I'm only the president of the United States. I'm not some, you know, local warlord in Afghanistan. Clearly you have more power than I do. I mean, it's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. I haven't, you know, this puts Saigon in 75 to shame. I mean, because we at least didn't have any of our troops there anymore. We had been gone for 2 years before Saigon fell. This is literally happening in real time. It hasn't happened before. This is unprecedented.
Yeah, I'm listening and I hear the passion and the compassion
because
in your voice.
I am just so angry and so infuriated and hurt,
you know,
because if you knew, I'm sorry, this is the last thing, and I'm going to let you talk since it's your show. But
you're giving us information that the mainstream media is not giving us. So, you know, I just have a question. So, no, you go ahead.
No, the last thing I'm going to say right now, I'll let you interrupt then, is that I'm dealing with people that are texting me. You know, constantly through secure messaging, and they're like begging me to help them. And I'm telling them, yes, we're doing the best we can. And they're like, you know, if you don't get to me in the next 24 hours, they're hunting us down. I will be dead. You know, and I know that some of these people that I'm speaking to right now, and I am getting a little emotional, they will be dead soon.
Exactly.
Because we were unable to get them out because Biden won't let us.
Yeah. And, you know, you have, you know, on the ground experience, so you know exactly what's going on. You know, what I wanted to ask you is, I didn't realize, or did the mainstream media purposely keep out?
Now, by the way, please, I know it's the term, I don't call it the mainstream media because there's nothing mainstream about them. You know, I call them the establishment media, or you can call them the far left media. But I mean, if you say mainstream, you're kind of assuming that they are mainstream, and they're not. So,
okay. Well, personally, I like to just
say that's my little.
No, you're right. It's really fake news media. Excuse me. I did not know, or when did they take over the U.S. Embassy? Because
at the very beginning.
Okay. Because I don't remember the fake news media talking about that.
Why would they? They just abandoned it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in shock
they moved the embassy operation onto the airport. So they're claiming they still have a representation. Yeah, I think the ambassador might even be there, but the embassy's gone and everything else is gone. There's nothing. The only thing in Kabul that we have control of is the airport.
And that's
so, you know, what do you think happened to the embassy?
Oh, well,
we don't control
exactly
anything outside of the perimeter of the airport.
So they have the computers. They have
they
all
have the
data. They
have control of everything, except some of the brave Afghans are still fighting in the north right now, and they're creating some search problems with the Taliban in the north. Those northerners don't give up easily, so they're still fighting up in the north somewhat. But the rest of the central Afghanistan and Kabul is all under Taliban control. There's nothing. The only thing we have is 5,000 troops at the airport. I mean, and here's the embarrassment, okay? This president had 25,000 National Guard members at his inauguration for no threat whatsoever, literally. But he's only got 5,000 to protect all our Americans and our evacuation in Afghanistan.
Which is over 11,000.
Think about that. 25,000 National Guard troops at the Capitol on January 20th, which was beyond insane. For no threat, because we still haven't identified any kind of actual threat that existed to that inauguration or to anything other than a few hundred crazies, you know, storming the Capitol out of 100,000 peaceful protesters that were there. So
there was no
25,000 troops at the Capitol and 5,000 at the Kabul airport surrounded by God knows how many Taliban.
That's sad. Beyond sad. It's a tragedy. It's because I'm almost speechless. Because as I'm listening to you,
it's tragic. It's tragic on an epic scale.
You know, Kamala Harris has not talked about the women being beaten and killed in the middle of the street. Both of them are non-existent leaders. To me personally, they're both a waste. Him and Kamala Harris are both a waste. No, go ahead.
VP Harris is, you know, the only positive thing out of all this is that I don't see either one of them getting elected in 24, and I see the Republicans gaining the House and possibly the Senate next year. This fiasco, because even people on the left have noticed. When Angelina Jolie writes a scathing op-ed in a major paper or magazine or whatever saying this is a disaster and it's outrageous and it's humiliating and it's just beyond, when she says that, you know that he's lost a lot of his people. So even people on the left who are partly to blame for him being there, I mean, at least they're honest enough to say, what is going on here? This is outrageous. So Angelina Jolie, I give her kudos for – and she has been a person who, though she's a Democrat for the most part, her dad isn't. John Voight is a hardcore Republican. But she is. She's at least been involved in philanthropy. She's been involved in refugees organizations since she was a young woman. So she is actually someone that actually – not your typical actress. She's been out there in the real world, and she knows what she's talking about. And in this particular case, she's 100% spot on. Go look her up on Google or find an article. Everything she said on there was probably stated better than I could. So, but when people like that start saying, Biden, you're absolutely screwed up, then there's a problem for sure that he's got. So the only thing I can hope for is this will allow us to win that back the House and the Senate. And I don't see him or Harris, who was never up to speed to be a vice president. I mean, you know, people who made fun of Sarah Palin, you know, at least she was a governor, for God's sakes. You know, Harris was a prosecutor in California. That's about it. She is so out of her element, out of her depth, that it's not even funny. And every time she laughs, it's because she laughs because she's embarrassed at how ignorant she is. And that's why she has that cackling laugh, because she literally
disgusting. Yeah, she's lying.
Well, it's and I've known people who've known her and worked for her and who used to like her and admire her when they worked for her 30 years ago, for example. But they say that when she laughs like that, it's because she knows she has no idea what she's talking about, and she's just embarrassed and nervous and covering it up because she doesn't know what she's doing. She's so far out of her element that it's frightening. And I don't see her winning any kind of election in 24 if she replaces Biden. Those are the only good things I'm seeing out of all this.
Right. Paul, before we continue, can you share with my audience any information if they know family members or anything, they can contact you or that they can get help, a conduit? I know you're one person.
I'll be honest with you. As of just a few, like an hour or two ago, I stopped taking any more because I can't help them. So we already have 1,700 people that we've processed, several hundred we've gotten out of the country. One of my articles on AmericanDefenseNews.com that I just posted today shows a video of hundreds of Afghan people that we got into Qatar. or as we say, Qatar in Doha, including an ambassador, a very high-level ambassador who used to work for the president of Afghanistan, who he himself was abandoned by his own president, who left in the middle of the night and didn't tell his own top advisors. So that was disgraceful on his part as well. But this ambassador is on the, his photo's there. He's in Doha along with hundreds of other people that we managed to get out. We still have another, you know, well over 1,000 people in our list that we just can't get. Because they're processed, we vetted them, we've got them, you know, spots on the plane, and we can't get them onto the airport. So I can't, in good faith, I promise anyone anything more, and I've stopped as of just an hour or two ago because I don't want to give anybody false hope anymore. As it is, there are so many people that I have that have been begging me, what do you do? What can I do? No one's reached out to me. No one's gotten in touch with me, and I'm just saying, I'm sorry.
I feel your pain because in your position now and realizing that you can't help, that's a very a difficult position to be in, to carry that you can only do what you can do and you can't do anything
else. I'm not used to being impotent in any way, and this is an incredibly hard thing to do.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I can't thank you enough for your service to the country, what you're doing now in Afghanistan. I mean, what you just described is just incomprehensible. It really is, you know. I wanted to ask you if we can just move a minute and talk globally about, as a result of Biden's being president, we've watched China posture. We've watched Russia posture against the United States and its allies. Can you talk about that a little bit, the shift of Biden being elected and how these other superpowers – have started to shift in posture around the globe as a result of his weakness?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The Chinese have been posturing for a while now because just in the last couple of years, they've reached a position where they can. Fortunately, Trump was the first and only United States president in 40, 50 years to stand up to the Chinese communists, period. The only one. No Republican or Democrat before him has done it, including the Bushes or whatever, you know, because they didn't need to back then in the day, but more recently when they did need to, they didn't do it. So Trump is the first and only president who has said, wait a second, this is unacceptable. Of course, the Chinese didn't help by the whole COVID thing, so they shot themselves in the face as well. But thankfully, Trump said, this stops here. And he dropped almost like Reagan did with the Soviet Union. He said, this ends here. And he put a huge brake on the communist Chinese, started arming Taiwanese with missiles and weapons that they had never gotten before because we had restricted them from doing it. He did the same thing for the Ukrainians, believe it or not. I mean, he armed the Ukrainians when Biden and Obama had refused to arm them.
Yep.
As much as they talk about being tough with the Russians, you know, Trump was actually tougher on the Russians by arming the Ukrainians and doing a lot of other things. So a lot of this stuff was going on, but now the weakness that they sense is palpable. I mean, this Afghan surrender, retreat, betrayal, you name it, is being felt across the world. I mean, the Chinese are using it in their propaganda, and they're telling Taiwan, forget it, you're toast. Don't worry about the U.S. coming to help you because they won't. Look what they just did to the Afghans, and they're not even trying. They're telling the South Koreans and our little, you know, tin pot dictator in North Korea is already saying, you know what, this is a good way to start separating the United States from South Korea because we're going to remind them that they're not going to come to your help. Same thing for the Ukraine, the Baltics, whatever. They're all being told, you know, this guy's not going to help you. The Europeans, who were supposedly so happy that Biden was back in power because Trump was hard on them, as he should be because they weren't paying their fair share and they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And I'm talking about the Germans for the most part and some of the bigger allied countries in Europe because the little ones like Poland or the Baltic countries or Hungary, they're doing more than their share, but they're small. So and Trump knew that. That's why he was moving forces forward and out of Germany but putting more of them in Poland and things like that. Well, the Russians are saying, hey, forget it. And the Europeans are even saying, did you see what the British did? The British Parliament condemns President Biden for his horrible withdrawal. That's unprecedented.
Yes.
Unprecedented also, for a British government to condemn an American president for their actions. Why? Because they got left in the lurch just like everybody else. When Biden decided to pull out, he didn't consult with our NATO allies who have thousands of troops on the ground. He just said, he says he consulted with them, but consulting basically entailed, hey, guys, we're leaving, so you better get your stuff packed and move. Because that's it. That was his consultation with the Europeans. All right. So most of them had to scramble and get their guys out before we got out, which was you know, literally 30 days, and they're furious. So all his supposed diplomacy to get friendly with our allies and improve our allies, well, I thought Afghanistan was our ally, you know?
Exactly.
So I think Afghanistan is a much stronger ally than Germany is at this moment, because Afghanistan actually lost 70,000 troops fighting against the Taliban. We lost 2,500, and we haven't lost a soldier in over 2 years, and we've lost maybe two or three over the last 6 or 7 years. So, you know, but the Afghans, despite the fact that when we think, you know, yes, they collapsed. I think there was a lot of deal making going on, and they said, look, we're screwed. America's abandoning us. Our air support is gone. Our logistical support is gone. Our contractors left overnight that did all the maintenance. We can't fight because they trained us to fight like them with all this support. And without the support, we won't be able to last. So should we just fight until we all die in about, you know, a month or two or three, or should we just cut deals with these guys and find a way to surrender? And I think that's what they did, you know. So
Joe Biden, in part, I
don't blame them, because they already lost 70,000 troops and security and over 100-something thousand civilians. So it's not like they haven't paid a price.
Exactly. It's sad. Joe Biden should be impeached for treason. You know, also, as I'm listening to you talk, Russia, and I'm sure you're aware of it, just gave Syria military weapons to posture against Israel. I think I read that in
well,
the news yesterday.
Well, you know, I'm as worried about Turkey as I am. Well, Syria doesn't pose that direct of a threat to Israel, because Israel would wipe them off if they had to, and they're still in the middle of a war.
Right.
But it's just it just gives different enemies of Israel different ways to attack, sort of from different directions. Israel still has the firepower and the capability to take on almost anyone in the region. But I was surprised by our NATO ally, Turkey, who's gone rogue. They've been threatening Israel, you know, and they took over the mosque that used to be a museum and tried to turn it back into a mosque that still had the Christian mosaics on it, because it had been a church, the Hagia Sophia, and it had been turned into a museum. And then, you know, the leader of Turkey decided, no, this is going to become a Muslim mosque again. As an example of the Islamization of Turkey, even though it's still made a NATO member, they've been making threats against Israel. And of course, the Iranians are still making those threats. And what has Biden been doing since he took office? He's been bending over backwards, trying to kiss Iranian behind, trying to get them to get back into a nuclear deal. It was a failure back when they did it 6 years ago, and it's definitely dead in the water now. Trump made sure of that. Trump had Iran literally crushed economically. They were having protests in the streets early last year and this year. They are, you know, the Soleimani strike, where Trump took down their major terror leader in Iraq while he was traveling, was a beautiful operation, and it destroyed their terror-making operations throughout the region. It really destabilized them, because the Iranians never expected something that kind of response, and Trump just hammered them. After all that's been done and all the progress that was made, here comes Biden and says, oh, never mind, Orange Man bad, we're in charge now, let's be friends again. We're going to get you back in the deal. Let's get you back into this Iranian deal, the one that, by the way, Obama gave him hundreds of millions of dollars in untraceable cash on airplanes as part of that deal back in 2015. So, you know, the threat from Iran is growing. The threat from North Korea is going to start growing. The Chinese threat, the only thing I got to say is, Biden had to suck it up, and even though he was literally on the "we need to make friends with China" side until the day he was elected, and I think once he got elected, he started getting all the briefs, that the presidential daily brief and everything else, and all his advisors said, "You got to cut off this. We got to be buddies with the Chinese, because that's not going to happen." And to the credit of the administration, they have had to accept certain realities. They're not doing it like I wish they would. They're not doing it like they should be. They're definitely not following things as strongly as Trump did, but they definitely backed off on the "let's kiss the CCP's behind," Communist Party of China, and they've maintained a lot of the things that Trump started, like working with the Australians, with the Japanese, and maintaining a certain amount of strong defense ties with Taiwan. So that's the only area where Biden, I think, had to literally suck it up and admit that he was absolutely totally wrong throughout his campaign and before, and he's had to sort of accept that we got to maintain somewhat of a strong stance against China. However, having said that, the defense budget that he proposed was a joke. I mean, it was absolute joke. It didn't even have enough money in there to account for the 4%, 5% inflation that he's now created. So, you know, we had a budget that was actually less than it would have been when you count for inflation. So the Republicans in the Senate and even some Democrats who were outraged said, you got to increase this budget or we're not going to pass it. But the budget that Trump, that Biden wanted was disgraceful. It would not meet muster to deal with the threats that we have and would put us in serious jeopardy within the next couple of years beyond what we already are. Because not only we shouldn't be cutting the budget, we should be dramatically raising it. And Biden was basically letting it slip below the last year's budget without raising it at all because of inflation. So it was embarrassing.
Biden has been disastrous whole 48 years. It's sad, but you know, like they say, the rooster's going to come home to roost. And, you know, he's been wanting to be president his whole life. Now he's there. And now he's just demonstrating how incompetent he is.
Well, he was never qualified to be anything, much less president of the United States. He really wasn't. And,
no, exactly.
And I have an article that I posted also on AmericanDefenseNews.com where I quoted, his name was Holbrooke. Richard Holbrooke was one of the top envoys under Obama to Bosnia and under Clinton to Bosnia and that whole issue, and then under Obama to Afghanistan. He died in 2010 suddenly, but right before he died, he wrote in his diaries, and this was published by a British magazine or newspaper, and then I wrote about it, that he said Biden, when he told him personally, Biden was vice president, 2010, he said, he was talking about withdrawing from Afghanistan back in 2010. This was Biden's plan. And Holbrooke asked him, well, what about our obligations to the Afghans. And Biden said, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to quote him, fuck that. That's what he said, quote unquote. Nixon and Ford got us out of Vietnam. Who cares? We can do it too. Basically, but with that kind of language, that kind of vulgarity, and that kind of just dismissive disdain for millions of people that we had helped and were depending on us, he just said, screw them. And he said this in 2010, according to Richard Holbrooke, Obama's top advisor to Afghanistan, his envoy. So this mentality goes way back. And remember, Biden was a senator during the Vietnam War, very young, very, you know, far left. He was one of those key guys into the Senate who made sure the South Vietnamese were totally cut off from all assistance from the United States, and Saigon fell in 75 because of that. So Biden has been just like John Kerry and all these other clowns, and I don't normally use this language, but I'm just so upset right now, all these other clowns that have been literally subverting and sabotaging our friends and allies and our own country for decades. Part of the bunch, as is Biden, these guys have been doing this nonstop for 40 years. And now they're at the White House trying to, you know, finalize the deal.
Paul, let me ask you a difficult question. Do you see the United States engaging in another war again?
In another war?
Yes.
Well, we may have to, whether we choose to or not. My problem is that we may lose. Okay, because we've got some amazing people. I mean, we have some amazing people at the lower levels, you know. But this woke propaganda and communist, leftist, socialist, Marxist, whatever you want to call it, indoctrination is doing tremendous damage. It's creating a whole generation of new officers and soldiers that simply don't have the warrior ethos, and they are ashamed of being Americans to some degree. So that's subversive and dangerous to begin with. And just in general, look at our generals now. I'm sorry, I had some respect for General Milley as our chairman of our Joint Chiefs, but in the last year, I am embarrassed that he is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I am absolutely embarrassed at some of the things he said and the ways he's conducted himself, and some of his public statements are just ridiculous and embarrassing. Secretary of Defense, former four-star general who should never have been given a waiver because he needed one to become Secretary of Defense, and we already had given one to our former Marine general that Trump made Secretary of Defense. We shouldn't have done it twice in a row. We did. Okay, he's the first black Secretary of Defense. That's about all that he can claim credit for. He is the first black American Secretary of Defense because he's also the first American Secretary of Defense to lose a war in Afghanistan. He's also the first American Secretary of Defense to be forcing up our troops to absorb Marxist indoctrination. And he's the first president, I mean, Secretary of Defense, who is supporting a president who is literally destroying our country in this process. I am flabbergasted. But with top generals and leadership like that, I fear for the future of our country in any kind of sustained combat operations with any enemy. You know, we can't fight the Taliban. How are we going to ever survive fighting the communist Chinese?
Paul, thank you so much for taking time.
And I hate to leave it on a sad note because I want to put it back on a positive note. We need to get out there. We need to do our thing and continue fighting for this country. Get out there and make sure your voice is heard. Don't be cowed. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried about being called an extremist or anything. Fight for what's right. Keep it up. Let's win the House and Senate back in 2022, and let's win back the White House in 2024 so that we can start reversing some of this outrageous disasters that have been created and see if we can get our country somewhat back on track.
Paul, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, for coming on my show and giving us some insight on what's going on and transpiring on the ground in Afghanistan. My hat prayers are with you continuously as you're battling this on the ground with them from here. Thank you so much. Like I said, I'm almost speechless as a result of what you shared today. Like I said, I'm speechless. I really am. It's just it's sad, troubling. It's just, I don't even know what to say as a result of listening to you today.
It's shocking.
It is, exactly. That's what I am. I'm shocked right now where I'm at the point of being speechless because we have Americans, people that fought alongside of us in Afghanistan that are being killed, and our U.S. president is doing nothing to help these people.
I'm talking not just males. I'm talking female interpreters, female contractors. I have the ID card or photo of it sitting right next to me here of one that I'm trying to get out right now still desperately who worked for a defense contractor with a nice little American flag on her ID. She's going to be killed. Young 20-something-year-old. Her family's going to be killed. Their children are going to be possibly killed. You know, this is just a humanitarian disaster bordering on crimes against humanity that this president is complicit in. And in some ways, he's ordering our troops, which is that last article I posted, ordering our troops to be complicit in too. So we have Marines saying, no, only Americans can come on the base, and telling these Afghans, you got to go back and die. So he's putting our troops into the position, you know, almost, I don't like using the Nazi analogy or the Germans, but he's basically saying, I'm ordering you to go send these guys to the gas chamber. Because basically, by refusing them access to the gates at the airport, he's condemning them to death, and our troops are becoming his enforcers. Which is, I mean, beyond words for me to have my fellow Marines be put in that situation.
Paul, for my listeners, please visit AmericanDefenseNews.com. Paul, if I may have permission, can I add that link to my website?
Absolutely.
So if my listeners and my supporters want to hear more about defense news, that will be up by the end of tonight. I will also blog it out about the AmericanDefenseNews.com so you can follow Paul. And basically, American Defense News is giving it to you straight, what's going on the ground, and it's unfiltered. So I think that's the most important thing.
But it's not just, it's not just military or defense. It gets into national security, foreign policy. I talk about, the Capitol riots. I talk about the National Guard, Homeland Security. I talk about a lot of things that go well beyond just sort of, fighting overseas. So it talks about things that affect us even here in the United States. So I cover a lot of ground and it's pretty broad coverage. And I would recommend that everyone go on the site, go to the little box in there, put their email in there for free and register so they can get the updates on a regular basis as well.
Paul, thank you so much. It's been an honor, a blessing, and a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for your courage, your compassion, and just an extraordinary individual. Good, Paul, you want to say something?
No, just to say the honor and pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
Oh, God bless you, Paul. Take care. We'll talk soon.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
We were honored and blessed to have in the studio today Paul Crespo, who is the president of the Center for American Defense, sharing with us the experiences of not only what's going on the ground, but his effort along with other public and private persons trying to save as many Americans and Afghan Americans as they can. This is a very tragic and humanitarian situation that is unconscionable to me. I am taken back by what I heard today by Paul. I'm shocked. I'm getting this information. It's more in depth. It's beyond the pale. I mean, I didn't realize that the U.S. was taking over as well as all of their technical information. It's very, very troubling that they have IDs of all these individuals that they can go and seek. And unfortunately, we pray for them, but they will not be killed. But listening to Paul today, a lot of people, a lot of Americans will not be coming out of Afghanistan as a result of disastrous Biden's weak policies. It is sad. This Thursday at 6 o'clock, we're going to have Billy Prempa, who's running for Congress again at New Jersey's 9th Congressional District, dynamic individual. He broke all records in the history of the Republican Party, getting the most amount of Republican votes than any other Republican candidate running for Congress in the predominantly Democratic district. Excited to have him on. He created the PAC, Revive America. He will be here at 6 o'clock on Thursday. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening to our show. You know, you can follow The Chauncey Show on Parler, on Gab, on Facebook, The Chauncey Show. Please, we depend on your help to keep shedding the news and being a voice for the nation. Please consider making a donation to PayPal me, The Chauncey Show, either PayPal me, The Chauncey Show, or The Chauncey Show at Patreon. We want to thank all of our past supporters for making their donations, for helping us to continue to be a voice for the American people. And we thank our new supporters. We also thank our blog subscribers for tuning in and receiving my different news clips, you know, every day. I want to thank all of you for your support. Until next time, thank you all for tuning in. God bless you all. Remember, keep the faith. And remember, we must keep fighting back. We must tell the truth. We must fight against the fake news, false news narrative. God bless you all, patriots. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you now. Good night.